Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about today doctrines that divide. What about biblical doctrines? What is doctrine? What does the word doctrine mean? How do we make the statement, the doctrines that divide? The great division today in denominational churches is the doctrine, the biblical doctrine. What does the Word of God say? And so we're going to talk about that today. We pray that you're tuned in, joined in, and will participate in the dialogue and the discussion. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue. It's a variety of doctrines that we'll just go over in kind of a thumbnail sketch today. Let you pick and choose the one you want to talk about, but I'm going to be focusing on some of the false teachers and some of the doctrines that's being taught in a false fashion, and some things that are being said from pulpits and around the world that's absolutely antithetical to the Scripture, and that we as Christians, as Bible scholars, and as biblical students, we need to understand that we can't depend on everything that man says, but on thus saith the Word of God. It is the Word of God is the first, foremost, and the final authority. That is Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book, as I like to call it. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, he made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, as he's speaking of himself, he says, "I am truth." And then further he says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to get our attention. It's the truth of the Word of God that becomes sound doctrine in the Scripture. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to make a determination in what we do and what we say in relationship to theological, doctrinal, biblical teaching. And yet we have a whole host of those today that are not looking at the truth of the Scripture. In fact, truth is a term that's unheard of in most circles today. It's unthought of in many circles today. It goes back to the truth tellers are the ones today that are demeaned and dissed by society. In fact, you can go by George Orwell, the secularist of years ago, that made the statement in his book 1984 and the dystopian fiction novel that he had written, that seemingly he could see into what we're doing today, because so much of what he said in that book applies today in what we're finding. George Orwell said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." But I commend to you the saying from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, and that is Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And so I commend that to you today. It is the truth book. It is the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about that further today in this broadcast. And we invite your dialogue and discussion. Be pondering it even now. What are some of the theological, doctrinal, biblical teachings that you have major problem with? What are some of the theological, doctrinal teachings that your church teaches that you question? What are some of the theological, doctrinal, biblical truths that are being taught today that you think are so muddled and murky that you can't fathom them and you'd like to ask a question about them? I'd love to be able to answer those questions for you. Love to be able to talk about doctrine. What does the Bible say? We'll talk about some of those doctrinal truths in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck in this little promotional for what we're doing on the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of this month. It is a mini master on music theory. You say, what is a mini master? That is taking a full semester from a theological academic standpoint, boiling it down in just a few days. And it's the 15th, 16th, and then 18th and 19th of this month. That's on a Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 at night, 2 hours each evening for 4 evenings, sponsored by Conservative Theological University and First Conservative Baptist Church. You can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information, someone will get back in touch with you to get you registered for this wonderful, wonderful introduction to music theory. The introduction to music theory is appreciation for church music. Not hip-hop, not jazz, not boogie-boogie, as I call it, but simply the church music, something that's inspiring, informative, and encouraging for those that are saved. Ladies and gentlemen, the Music Master will cover things like basic music concepts, the tone intervals, scale and basic chord harmony, rhythm principles. It is open to anyone, invited to everyone that wants to learn a little more about music and its basics, and it's hymnal music, if you'd call it that, church music, gospel music. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a small fee. I think it's $59, and that just covers the totality of what you will experience during that week. It is something that, from an academic standpoint, normally would be about a $365 cost for academic students enrolled in the college for credit. You can take it as simply an edification, something that will be beneficial to you and your ministry, if you're a Sunday school teacher, deacon, etc. Perhaps you know music. Perhaps you've not learned some of the music theory and some of the things that will be taught. We invite you to join us for that. It'll be a wonderful week in the study of music. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators for backup, power backup. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment. They can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions for the professional as well as for the homeowner when it comes to landscape and lawn care equipment. A full line of equipment, ladies and gentlemen. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flagpole, U.S. flag flowing 24-7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, doctrines that divide is what we're talking about today. And may I commend to you, and I think we have some of these in the campus bookstore. It was published many, many, many years ago by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. The title of the book is The Doctrines That Divide. In fact, I got my title for today's broadcast from the idea from the cover of his book. It's a book that subtitle says, A Fresh Look at the Historic Doctrines That Separate Christians. Let me just read you a brief introduction on one of the pages at the chapter one. It says, I didn't expect to find this kind of heresy in the church, but one evening at a religious gathering, I found myself seated next to a popular woman pastor who skillfully blends Christianity with the New Age movement, which teaches that God exists within every person and simply is waiting your discovery. Further in the article, the writing, it says, but I persisted. Do you believe that all religions of the world are equally valid? I asked, forcing her to define her doctrine with more precision. Yes, I do, she answered candidly. And then it goes further. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is, there's some that think that it's not a trinity, but it's three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They divide it out and have you to believe that there are three different gods. Some say that Jesus Christ is not God, that he is simply a good man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about that during the course of the day's broadcast. But let me just share with you, ladies and gentlemen, today, as a nation, we're divided. Let me just clear the air, if you will. Today, we're divided. We're divided socially. We're divided economically. We're divided politically. We're divided ethnically. We're divided theologically and doctrinally. Now, that's a divided nation. That's divided people. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, the division among churches and Christians is the most serious division that I believe we could find. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not minusculizing. I talk about it often, about the political division, the political problems, and all of the garbage that's taking place in the Beltway in Washington, and the deceptive nature of it, and the division that it's causing as a result of that. But listen, I'm not minusculizing that. But from a church standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, from a central biblicist viewpoint, which I hold, someone says it's just what Baptists believe. No, it's not what Baptists believe. I just simply believe what the Bible says. This is the reason I refer to myself as a central biblicist. And I coined that term. You'll not find it any place from the standpoint of a dictionary representation of it, etc. I am a central biblicist. I don't care what Baptists say or talk about or believe. I don't care what Presbyterian and Methodists say or believe. I don't care what Roman Catholicism says or believe. I don't care what any other ism or schism, as I call it, would say or believe. I simply believe what the Word of God says in context. In context. What does the Scripture say? Ladies and gentlemen, the divide doctrinally is pretty wide. I want us to recognize some of the major, major divisions. Here's an article. I just read you a little brief headline from it. Why does Christian doctrine cause so much division? And in the body of this article, it's pretty brief, but I'll read you just a blurb or two from it. Doctrine has often been divisive throughout the history of the church. Many of today's denominations are the result of one or more doctrinal differences causing a group to split off. Now, there are thousands of denominations worldwide. Why does Christian doctrine cause so much division? And number one, he says, it must be noted that the truth of God is not intended to divide believers. He says, number two, there are often legitimate reasons for division. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 warns that the time will come when those in the churches will not tolerate sound doctrine, that is sound teaching, but will instead select to find leaders to teach and preach what they want to hear. This is taking place, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, throughout America today, when there's different opinions on what the Bible says. Listen, there's one interpretation, multiple applications when it comes to Scripture. Don't let anybody tell you that it's just the way you interpret it, that everybody has a different interpretation. And as I have said so often, that's a good Greek word for that, horse feathers. No such thing as many interpretations. There's one interpretation, many applications. This particular writer goes on to say, some divisions take place for non-doctrinal reasons. Maybe it's because of the style of clothing. Maybe it's because of the style of music, etc. And fourth, he says, there is also a wide variety of what is considered essential doctrines. Throughout the church history, certain absolutes have stood as vital to all Christians, such as the Trinity, the full deity and humanity of Christ, salvation by grace through faith, the sinlessness of humanity, the sinfulness of humanity, that is, the inerrancy of the Bible, the return of Christ, and other differences, etc., etc., etc. Truth must be separated from error, this writer says, and I'm in full agreement with that. We must be able to separate truth from error. Have you ever sat in a church and listened to a preacher preach? Have you ever turned on radio, television, listened to a preacher preach? He reads a verse or two of Scripture, and then he starts making some statements. He gets pretty dogmatic in it and says some things, and you sit there and wonder, well, I didn't know that meant that. I've never thought of that. I didn't know that. Perhaps you'd say, that's perhaps way, way out. That is simply, I've never considered. Perhaps it's because it is not correct. Perhaps it's because it's false teaching. Perhaps it's because it's taking doctrine and making it an error out of the truth of the Word of God and trying to get you to be convinced that that's really what the Bible says. I believe we have Bob on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. Okay, you brought this subject up, okay?
So, all right.
I want to talk about one of the fastest growing denominations that is made up of born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Well, not Bible-believing Christians, but they're born-again Christians. But it is, in my opinion, the most blasphemous and demonic denomination that I know about, and that's dispensationalists. They're Pauline dispensationalists, mid-Acts dispensationalists they're known by. But these are born-again Christians that are, in my opinion, blasphemous and demonic in what they teach. Are you familiar with them?
I am not familiar with that particular denomination, but explain to me, just for my edification and perhaps for the benefit of the audience, what is the word dispensationalism mean to you? What is dispensation, and what is this group teaching that you're talking about? Because I don't know that I've heard them as a denomination. Now, I'm a dispensationalist. I believe in biblical dispensationalism. I teach dispensationalism in the college and the university, and the Bible teaches dispensationalism. And I understand there are a lot of folks who will argue and be dissuaded about that, saying it started in the 80s by Darby, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but that's not true. But tell me what you're talking about.
Okay, I am a dispensationalist also. I believe that there are obviously different dispensations and different teachings about that. But these people, what they teach that, for instance, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and James, and Revelation, those books are only for Israel. They are not for the body of Christ today. So if you ask them, you know, are those books pertinent to born-again Christians today, they will tell you no, that we're not to study those books. We're only to study the books that Paul wrote, and those are the only books that the body of Christ need to worry about. They teach that there's about 10 different ways of being saved, born again. They teach that the people in the tribulation period, they get saved by works, because that's Israel, and Israel are saved by keeping the commandments. They're not saved by the blood of Jesus. I can go on and on and on. They teach that Paul was the one that started the church. They teach that Paul was the one that brought grace to the church. They even teach that Paul is going to offer the church up to God the Father. These are made out of born-again Bible, these born-again Christians. These are saved people. Go ahead.
Bob, let me jump in for a minute and just simply put a little footnote on that. And you, I could tell you're hesitant when you say born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Number one, it's an impossibility. Hear me. An impossibility to be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born-again without a belief in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. For example, we must believe that Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. We must believe that in our heart, confess with our mouth. And it's an impossibility to do that if you're going to say you take those Bible books and you just cast them out. What you're finding is a hodgepodge there, and the thing that has caused so much dissension, division, and chaos and confusion in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is to identify them at those in that area, at that category, and calling them Christians. A Christian cannot come up and say, I just don't believe the Bible. I'm going to rework the Bible. I'm going to toss out part of the Bible. We have the canonicity of the Scripture, and that goes back to bibliology when you study the different doctrines, the theological beliefs that are taught in the Christian faith. And for a person to say that, in essence, God made an error, and I'm going to correct God's error, so I'm going to correct the Bible, and I'm going to cast off part of it and keep part of it. It's like taking the Bible and reading through and taking a penknife. That which you disagree with, you just cut it out, and you cut it out, and you cut it out. Before long, you don't have much of a Bible left, and that's what they've done.
With all due respect, there are two things they get right. One is the King James Bible, and they do get salvation correct. But that's about it.
Well, that is, let me put it this way. From my perspective, and not having read behind them, listened to them, or anything in that realm, I go back to the fact you cannot say I'm saved, but you're going to cast out the Bible and say God made an error and we ought not to believe that. For example, Andy Stanley says we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments aren't for the believer today. That's just as heretical and just as much heresy as what you're saying. And I say that Andy Stanley needs to get saved and go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And now that might get a little get folks a little upset, but it goes back to, I simply believe what the Bible says. A person can say, well, I don't understand all of the Bible. That is notwithstanding what I'm saying. God said it, that settles it. We don't need to argue and debate about it. And if we want to, that goes back to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental of what the Scripture says. Because in the Scripture, it is very, very clear in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it's God-breathed and is profitable. That means beneficial. For doctrine, that means for teaching. For reproof, that means correction. For conviction and correction. And for instruction in righteousness, that means right living. Verse 17 then says, that the man of God, that's the Christian, may be perfect, that is mature, complete in his faith, thoroughly, completely, complete and lacking nothing, completely furnished unto all good works. Now, what do you do with that if you say, I'm saved, and yet I'm going to toss out the Scripture, when the Scripture says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? And the word inspiration literally means the spiration, the breathed out breath of God. It's God's breath on paper that is the Word of God. And so I just take a dogmatic stand on that. And I understand what you're saying. You're trying to be, I think, benevolent and kind. It is just as if I were to make a statement and say that all Catholics are lost, that would be an incorrect statement. I know some that are truly blood-bought and Bible-saved, but they're staying in a heretical denomination because they don't know enough Scripture, enough, not been taught enough in the Scripture to understand what to believe and what not to believe.
Mm. So none of these people have approached you and debated with you? I'm surprised.
I would love to debate them, absolutely. I'd love to have dialogue and discussion with them. You know one that thinks he's sharp as a tack in that? Tell him to call me. We'll set up a radio debate with him.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I have to admit I'm a little surprised because I thought you knew everything.
I try to, but I don't.
I'm just kidding. So, yeah, they're called mid-acts or Pauline dispensationalists. I'm sure you'll hear from them or about them shortly.
I'll research that. That'd be wonderful. I appreciate you calling today and bringing that up. That's a fresh approach and an understanding or an avenue that I've not seen or heard before. So, Bob, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We need to understand what doctrine is about. Bible doctrine simply means Bible teaching. It's teaching the Word of God. It is preaching the Word of God, not some heretical dogma from some denomination. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I understand, and this is so fluid, it changes year to year, but I understand through 2020, there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,500 to 4,000 different denominations around the globe, and most of them here in America also. We need to recognize the doctrines that divide, as Dr. Lutzer's book is titled, The Doctrines That Divide. And I'm talking about today doctrines that divide. What are they? What are we talking about when we talk about doctrines that divide? There's a pretty wide divide in them. In fact, Dr. Lutzer says, I've read behind him in several of his statements, he says, to speak of unity and to minimize doctrinal differences is to sacrifice truth on the altar of wishful thinking. Let me read that again. In lieu of our conversation with our previous caller, Dr. Erwin Lutzer said, to speak of unity and to minimize doctrinal differences is to sacrifice truth on the altar of wishful thinking. He also further states, unity, useless unless it is based on agreement regarding the content of the gospel, would not be worth the price. Further, he says, the unbelief and failure of man can never thwart the intended plan of God. Further, he makes a dogmatic statement. Given the popular widespread misconceptions of Christianity, it is time we return to the basics. If we don't, thousands of people who believe they're Christians, hear me, thousands of people who believe they're Christians will discover in the day of judgment that they were totally misled, end quote. Further quote, he says, there's no such thing as harmless addition or deletion from the gospel, end quote. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the seriousness of simply taking a willy-nilly, as I call it, approach to the Scripture, and the belief that somehow, some way, you can add to or simply say, well, Paul founded the church, or that the Apostle Paul's doctrines or books are on the thing that are valid in the Scripture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as Bob was just talking about. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that there's much confusion and conflict today in theological doctrinal teaching, and it should be examined carefully. We need to look at it carefully. We need to study the Scripture carefully. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. It is studying to show ourselves approved, dokimos, approved of God as a workman, rightly dividing, that's cutting it straight, rightly dividing the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, doctrines divide the body of Christ, and it ought not to. And it's because everybody has his own little philosophies of what he wants to believe. Everybody wants to have his own little spin to what he wants to believe and what he wants to teach and preach and say. So you're in a church, and here's the pastor that's teaching the truth of the word of God, and you decide, I believe it should be taught this way. I believe there's something else should be added here. I believe we need to take a little of the mysticism and add to it, and not realizing that, and start another whole denomination. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some denominations out there that it's called non-denominational church, and yet there are dozens of them. Once you have more than one, you've got a denomination. No such thing as a non-denominational. If you go into a church that's non-denominational, then you have to ask, what are they teaching? What's the doctrine? And you look at the doctrines. Are they the cardinal doctrines? Are they faith of the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, some of the doctrines that divide. I'll just go over them, and then we're going to analyze some of these today. Time won't allow us to go through it. It would be an entire year's broadcast study if we were to try to look at all of the doctrines and the doctrines that divide. But we're going to talk about some of the main ones, main characters today that's on the forefront, that's misapplying the Word of God and dividing the doctrines, that's dividing the body of Christ. For example, is the Bible inerrant? Does the Bible have final authority, or should we include denominational dogma? That's a major question I'm asking you. Is the Bible inerrant? Does it, the Bible, have final authority? Or should we include denominational dogma? Can we trust the Scriptures is the bottom line. In the study of the doctrines, it's called bibliology. Do we trust the Scripture? Do we believe that the Word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word? Or do we believe that somehow, some way, God's left out a thing or two, or we need to correct God because God's not smart enough to know he's made an error? And that's what people are saying when they say, this needs to be changed, this changed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to stop dabbling with the changing of the Word of God and simply focus on understanding God and let God speak to us through his Word. And the second thing, ladies and gentlemen, the sovereignty of God versus free will. There are a lot of people that are teaching that God is sovereign because of God's sovereignty. And by the way, he is sovereign. God is sitting on the throne. He's got this whole world in his hands. In the sphere that I call God, there's no such thing as yesterday, today, or tomorrow. It's all the eternal presence with God. So in his eternal sovereign foreknowledge, everything that's going to happen, God already knows it because God is sovereign in his foreknowledge. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the fact that the sovereignty of God versus free will, some say that man cannot do anything, man can't get saved by choice, that God's had to do it before the foundation of the world. That is, does man have a free will, or is God totally in charge? Are we simply puppets? Are we puppets, or do we have free will? That's the question. That's a major teaching, major doctrinal difference there. Calvinism says that man doesn't have a free will, and that's some different Calvinists. In fact, one of the Will Durant, one of the major historians of Christianity, has said if you've got 1,000 Calvinists in a room, you've got 1,100 different opinions of what Calvinism teaches. And that means that there's a fluidity to Calvinism that not a single Calvinist today really understands what Calvinism is, as different nuance of understanding of it. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about doctrines that divide. It's the doctrine of the free will of man and the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Is God sovereign? Yes. Do we have free will? Absolutely we do. And we're not going into great detail of that. I just want to give you a whole lineup of some of the things that divide the body of Christ today. Is Jesus fully man and fully God? Some say that Jesus was half God and half man. 10,000 times no. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. He is the incarnate God-man. And I could go into a great deal of detail about Christology and about the study of who Christ is. He is God come in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus fully God? Is he fully man? Is he both? Absolutely, he's both. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Got some interesting things to come up as we talk about doctrines that divide. We're going to get into some of these teachings and what some of these folks are saying and see where you stand. Join us right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.